you. Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be here again in person. We live in a world where truth is hard to come by. Even things we think are certain are being redefined, sometimes over and over again. I remember a few years ago having to write a biography as part of an application to become a foster carer. In this biography, I identified myself as half-caste, but our assigned social worker said I couldn't use that term. She said I should use the term dual heritage instead. Someone somewhere had decided that I could no longer identify myself in a way which I had done for nearly 40 years at that time. It highlighted to me the hypocrisy of equality. My white friends could still refer to themselves as white. My black friends could still refer to themselves as black, but I could not refer to myself as half-caste. And I think, sadly, we are seeing more and more things being redefined so that even truth itself is no longer certain. We apparently live in a post-truth world, a world where truth is fluid and is based on emotions or beliefs rather than facts. In John chapter 18, which is a parallel to the reading we've just done in Mark, in John chapter 18 and verse 38, it would appear that Pilate was ahead of his time when he asks Jesus, what is truth? Could Pilate possibly see that the truth Jesus was preaching was different to the truth of those who wanted him dead? In the verses preceding, Jesus is adamant that there is a truth, but not everyone will listen to this truth. He says, in verse 36 of John chapter 18, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. Jesus came speaking truth. And even though the truth that Jesus was proclaiming was a truth about equality, about release and freedom, even though that was his message, Jesus was persecuted. And he was ultimately killed because of that truth. And Jesus warns in a few chapters earlier, chapter 15, Jesus warns that his followers would also suffer for this truth. In John 15, verse 20, Jesus says this, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not come among them, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of the truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So whilst the world we live in is constantly redefining meanings, the Bible message remains true and constant. And whilst religion, in the UK at least, religion is a protected characteristic under the Equalities Act, it would appear to a certain extent that religious belief is becoming less equal to other characteristics. Even, I read recently, even to the point where Christian prayer is illegal around abortion clinics in the UK. I mean, it's a bit sad, really, isn't it? But the late, supposedly, Christian Queen of England gave royal assent to the legalisation of abortion in 1967. So we have a truth that has been changed. Murdering of unborn children was no longer classed as murder. It was redefined. And the head of the Church of England agreed to this. So it would appear that the equality did not extend to the right to life of the unborn child. And now, in our day and age, if you even dare to stand praying, even silently praying in some places about this issue, you could be doing something illegal and you could be arrested. Now, it's easy for me to stand here and criticise the late Queen. What about all the times I remain silent instead of speaking Bible truth? Instead of doing what Christ commands in places like Matthew chapter 10 and verse 27. It's my silence, and probably yours as well. It's our unwillingness to speak truth, which can sometimes lead to further suppression of the truth. We often hide our faith rather than boldly proclaiming it. I think we just need to remind ourselves of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. It's similar to what we read in Mark's reading, Mark 16 on the Great Commission. But in Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body that cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So we're commanded, aren't we, to speak truth, to speak the gospel. And that message of truth that we're commanded to speak is really very much an issue, or speaks into the issue of equality. Because what the Bible offers, the kind of equality that the Bible is offering, is far superior to the kind of equality that the world promotes and many of the organisations in the world. As John chapter 8 tells us, the truth which Christ preached and ultimately died for was a message of freedom. Freedom from the inequalities of this world. It doesn't matter whether that inequality is due to race or sex or social standing or disability. Jesus brings freedom. He brings hope. He brings something so much more than this world can offer. This is what Jesus said to his followers in John chapter 8, verse 31. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." It's a wonderful message of hope, of being freed from the oppression of this world. And despite this message of freedom from the inequalities that we see all around, many of the world's organisations today, which claim to be supporting equality, they want to promote equality, they actively subvert the truth of this gospel message. There's many that we can think of, but recently, a few years ago, the Black Lives Matter movement came to the fore, and it claimed to care about black lives, But interestingly, part of the ethos was to get rid of the biblical family structure. And part of the ethos also was to deny biblically defined gender. We know about women's rights activists and their claims for pro-choice, and they want the right for women to have a choice over their bodies, which effectively means they want the right for unborn children to be killed for the sins of the parent. We all know about the United Nations, and we can think it's a laudable idea to have nations united. And they claim to want to help people, but they impose sanctions on countries contrary to what the Bible says about loving enemies and doing good to those who hate you. We've got the World Bank, which claims to want to share prosperity in the world, and yet it charges usury instead of giving to those in need. We have the LGBTQ plus movement, which have even managed to get the definition of marriage redefined. So in claiming to want equality, many of these organisations are actually rejecting God and the ultimate equality which is on offer, but they're happy to stand up and promote their version of equality. What about us? Are we willing to stand up and promote our version of equality? This grasping for equality that many of the world organisations claim to want, this grasping to elevate themselves up beyond God and to ignore God, permeates all through our society. When my wife and I finally went for our final part of the approval process to become foster carers, we had to go to a panel. It's a local authority panel where we get asked a few questions, and there were a few concerns raised over our biblical stance regarding same-sex relationships. But as I tried to point out, the reality was every one of us are equal in this life. We are all equally sinners, all of us. The only difference is that some people accept their sin and repent, others don't. The wonderful gift that God has given is that anyone and everyone can become sinless in Christ. Anyone can find ultimate equality of being one with Christ in a kingdom which is hopefully soon to come. On my street, when I was growing up, we had people from all over the world. There was English, there was West Indian, there was Pakistani, there was Indian, Polish, Ukrainian, Italian. That was just on my street that I knew of. It had been called the National Central Line. Being an outcast didn't matter. We just got on because we were all equally working class. Yes, there was discrimination. Yes, there were differences. But for the most part, we all recognised our working class roots. We were all in the same boat, focusing on the differences, distracted from the fact that the world we live in is a world of the haves and the have-nots. But the truth of the Bible, which is an unchanging truth, is that the ultimate form of equality is on offer. In the present life, there is no distinction between believers. All believers are equally part of the church. We have different functions, but we're all part of the body, aren't we? That's what Paul says in Corinthians. We're all equally valued. But the ultimate equality that accepting Christ brings is to become one with God. We can try to make ourselves equal to God, or we can let God elevate us to ultimate equality. So equality isn't something to be grasped at. It's not a right that we can grasp for. It is a gift God wants to give us. And in many ways, I think about King David. He was anointed king, but it was a number of years before he sat on the throne. So he was already a king almost, but it was a number of years before he actually attained that throne. And he was deemed insignificant by his family, but he wasn't insignificant to God. And unlike King Saul, David didn't let pride get the better of him. Rather than grasping for the power that he knew was his, rather than grasping for that power, David chose the same path as Jesus. David waited patiently for God to give him the throne. And in many ways, that's like us. We have been taken from obscurity and we have been anointed as kings. And like David, we might go through trials and persecutions in this life, but we know that we, all of us, will be given equality as kings and priests in the kingdom to come. And I just want to finish by reading John chapter 17, verse 20 to 26. As we now remember Jesus and how he has set us free from sin. Let us leave here and be willing to proclaim God's unchanging truth. We have a message of ultimate equality that we should be willing to proclaim and share with all around us. John chapter 17, starting to read verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them.